blessing that is to be able to have folks come together and just see all the smiling faces along the way. Look around, give somebody a wave that and a true smile that says, man, I am tickled to death that you are here, and look forward to serving the Lord together. If you're part of our online audience, as always, we're grateful to have our online minister, Dr. John Cazito, there to answer any of your questions. Be sure to say hello to one another. Don't just sit there like a wallflower. You know, if you were listening, you probably heard the chatter that was going on here. You all can chatter too. I'll just call you keyboard warriors. So be sure to greet one another as part of our online audience. And we are so, so glad to have you with us today. As always, I want to go ahead and I don't want to call it preview, but just a reminder that we are currently in the midst of our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. I got to make sure I get the two. Sometimes I get the two confused when I'm saying it. I know which ones they are. But the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is, of course, the offering that we take that keeps our missionaries out there on the field, our North American missionaries, which North America is Canada, United States, and Mexico. This is what keeps them out there and giving them the opportunity to actually do some incredible works out on the field. They don't have to worry about returning for deputation, but all the Southern Baptist churches across the world take this time to collect an offering. And as always, we want you to know that 100% of that offering goes to support our missionaries and keep them on the field. So if you are so led to give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, there's envelopes that are in the pew there in front of you. If not, you can holler at somebody. If not, we'll get you something to put it in, and we just mark it Annie Armstrong. So one of the other things that I want to ask you before we get started today is, did everybody get your number four? It's called Developing Know-How. Does everybody have this? Your ushers should have given that to you. If you don't, listen, if you don't have one of these, put your hand up. We'll take care. Okay, we got a few over here. We want to make sure you have that. When I grew up, I don't know what they call it in this day and age, but when I grew up, they called that a listening sheet. Yeah, mainly, I always called it a listening sheet because the teacher knew I wasn't listening, but if I followed along and filled in a blank, I did pretty good. So, again, keep your hands up. We got our ushers that are making their way around, and that way you will have one of these when the time comes, and you won't have to just jot something down on a piece of paper. You'll actually have the book that you can use in just a little bit when Jacob starts our time in the Word together. So, once again, Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're taking that through Easter, and then we will be sending that in to folks. But as always, one of the things that we do is we will highlight one of our missionaries. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to let you see this. This is, I'm saying it right, it's A.O. Adams. And when he introduces himself, you'll probably realize that I said it wrong, but I'm a hillbilly, and y'all know how that goes. So at any rate, you're going to get to see just a brief clip of some of the work that's being done by our North American missionaries. This particular one is A.O. Adams. When I get done, I will come up and lead us in a word of opening prayer as we begin our time together today. Go ahead and roll the video.
I think there's a perception that college students are closed off to the gospel, but when I talk to students, they're just looking for meaning and something to live for, and it's like, we have it. I'm Jordan Adams. I'm a church planter who planted a church in West Lafayette, Indiana, trying to reach Purdue University. There is rapid growth that is happening as far as just college students coming to hear the gospel. And it's because the way they live life, they're going to classes together, they live together, and so the gospel spreads like crazy through these friend groups.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Ellie, and we're sophomores at Purdue University. We met the first day of college.
She was my roommate, she was my random roommate. And church has been a big deal for me my whole life.
But I wasn't really into church at all.
So the way that she got invited to church, it was really beautiful, honestly.
You were like, it'll be fun. And then I remember the first worship, Jordan was speaking, and I learned that Jesus was like an actual person, that he knew exactly who I was, and like, I learned that he loved me for who I was, even though everything was broken about me.
It's just really great to watch entire friend groups be changed by Jesus. And now we have more and more college students that are graduating and just going, where's the next church plant? That's where I'm moving. This is the mission of my life. So yeah, it has been more than I imagined. And I imagined quite a bit, but I didn't see this. A movement of the gospel in our country that will change our country. Through college students.
So this gives you an opportunity to see a little bit about it. I've always said this when it came to us at Central Baptist Church, and what it was over 20 years ago that we formed the Mission Action Team. And the reason that we did that was because, you know, giving is important. It really is. I mean, yeah, it takes money to make ministry happen. But even more important was having boots on the ground. And you guys took that challenge. That's how we had our teams that went to Cuba, teams that went to Honduras and Wilmington, our senior adults that were going out to Wyoming, local missions where we were feeding the homeless here within our own community. So you took up that mantle and you took up that challenge, and couldn't be more proud of each and every one of us. But as our Annie Armstrong and Easter offering, and then our Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you also give graciously to that. But we wanted to make sure that you have an opportunity to see at least some bits and pieces of what that goes for. Just once again, 100% of that, of what you give, goes to support folks like Pastor Adams in his ministry. So as the Lord leads, drop something in there, and we'll let you know how things go. We'll be taking that offering for the next couple weeks. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful that you have allowed us this opportunity. And Father, today as I look out over this congregation, I realize that there is no accident that each and every person that is here is here. You have a plan for their heart. You have a plan for their life. You have drawn them into this place to hear your word today. Now, Lord, we know that if we came seeking a blessing, we're not going to be disappointed, because your word does not return void. Father, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with Jacob, but it has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. So, Father, today I pray that we would be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I realize that Satan's going to try to throw every obstacle and roadblock in our way this morning. He's going to try to make us think about things we've got to do today, planning and organization, and what we've got to do for the work week tomorrow. And Lord, there'll be little things that will go wrong in the midst of our service. But Father, I pray that you will just help keep those things away, number one. Number two, help us to realize, Father, that the most important thing is hearing from you today and then reacting in whatever it is that you've placed in our hearts. So today, Lord, we just ask for your guidance. Lord, I pray that in all that is said and done, you will be honored, magnified, and lifted up as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This morning, as we gather on Palm Sunday, you'll notice our hymns are and all of our music is focused on the cross today, and next week it'll be on the resurrection of our Lord. Please join me as we sing 135, Nothing But the Blood. Please stand as we sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Blood of Jesus for my pardon. nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing is my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the soul that makes me white as snow.
Thank you.
Please join me at the cross, number 139.
Where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
One of the greatest introductions of all time. Jacob Payne is here to do our number four out of number five series on Every Believer a Witness. Y'all know him. Jacob, come on up, brother.
Well, good morning. I hope everybody is doing well, and I hope everybody's allergies are backed off a little bit. Roy's shaking his head, so apparently mine have subsided a little bit, but Roy's have kicked into overdrive, so I tell you, it's just something else. And then when you try to speak up here when your allergies are bothering you, it's not easy. I know Roy makes it look easy, but it's really not. It really isn't. So Roy's already did a good job of making sure everybody has a session four note. If you haven't, grab one as you're walking in if you didn't get one this morning. And So Roy did a fantastic job last week talking about defeating fear. Defeating fear. It's wonderful. And one of the things that we're going to talk about as we start this morning, there's another thing that we didn't mention last week. It wasn't in the notes. So he didn't know because it wasn't in there. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about developing know-how. This is the second part. Today, this morning, we're going to be learning how to turn a secular conversation into a spiritual one. But something that's also going to tie into last week's fear that's going to help you a little bit is the word preparedness. Preparedness. Have you ever wondered why, when you were in school and you didn't study for a test, how did you typically do? Bad. But if you studied, you were prepared, you did better than you expected. Maybe not quite 100, but you did better than you had thought. And that's what we're going to work on today. So if you want to flip to page 2 in your notes, we're going to be talking about developing know-how. What do we say, part 2? We're going to be working on how to prepare a little bit here. So number 1, we're talking about 3 major ways that most believers can witness almost every day. We've already talked about with your testimony, with your witnessing story. And then real quick, did you share your testimony with anyone today? These first 2 pages are going to be homework. They're going to be homework. But they also tie into the word preparedness. Because I want you to look at the very next page. This page looks very familiar, don't it? The top of page 3. You see honing your personal story, and you see 3 letters. Letter A is going to talk about my life before Jesus. Letter B is going to be talking about your life, or how you came to accept Jesus in your life. And then letter C, your life since Jesus came in. Now these are going to be homework pages. I'm not going to make you do it during the service today, but you may be asking, well, Jacob, it looks awful short. Last time they had their own individual page. Now they're all on one page. Well, there's a reason for that. You notice you only have maybe 5 or 6, 7 lines per part of your story, before, how, since. Well, this is going to be homework because now you're going to be, just like it's talking about at the top, honing your personal story. Because reality is, most of the time, you're not going to have 10 minutes with somebody to share the gospel, to share your story. You're not going to have that kind of time. Sometimes you may not have 60 seconds, maybe 2 minutes tops. But most of the time in reality, it's going to be less than 2 minutes that you have with a lost person to get to share the gospel with them. So that's going to be homework. Just make sure you remember, when you talk about how you came to know Jesus, what's going to be in it that is the power? The gospel. That's right. Don't forget to put the gospel in it. I'll keep putting that and beating that in because you'll be surprised how many times people will share their story and they'll tell the person that they got saved, but they forget to share the good news that Jesus died on a cross. He rose from the grave. So that is the power. That is the gospel. So let's look at the top of page 4. Now that you're going to do that for homework, honing in your story from the previous couple weeks ago where we actually wrote our stories, top of page 4, turning secular conversations into spiritual ones, we're going to be talking about how to open up, openings to share your story. So number 1, listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Some examples: divorce, rebellious children, health problems, financial problems, lost job, lost loved one. Our students in the room didn't make the ball team. These are all experiences that you're listening to that you can connect with. For instance, my oldest son, he's in the room today, loves playing basketball. Sometimes we'll go up to the Stokesdale Park, and they have, you know, the right there at Town Hall, the basketball courts that are outside, and well, we'll go up there and play, and he'll start up games with strange kids, and they'll get to balling out there. Well, I go too, because I go on mission. Because generally where there's children, guess what? There's parents, typically. There should be. Well, one time he started up a game, and the kids are out there playing, and I'm standing over against the fence watching them. Well, one of the kids, their father was there beside me, and we just started small talking. Guess what I did? Number one, I listened to see if I would hear an experience. You know what that requires me to do? Zip it. And listen. So I listened for an experience. Guess what he said? He said, yeah, I'm just out here letting the kids, the boys play some ball. He said, they're having a tough time right now. We're going through a bit of a separation, me and their mother. I heard an experience. I said, I know about separation. And I went right into my story I shared before, how, since Jesus changed my life. Guess what he heard right in the middle? The gospel. But it wasn't just joining a church that got me saved. It wasn't just attending Sunday school that saved my life. It was, for the first time in my life, surrendering to Jesus who died on the cross for me and rose from the grave in 3 days. I shared the gospel with him, the power. That's what changed my life. And he was so wonderful. He thanked me after I shared my story for sharing that with him. And it gave him a peace that as a Christian, I was human. Lost people need to understand that we're just as human as they are. So when we're kind enough to share our story with them and to be genuine enough to share the gospel with them through the vehicle of our story, it means a lot to them, especially since you just listened and you gave them time to talk. But you were strategically doing it for a reason because you're listening for an experience. Here's another example. I was in Greensboro. Now, I'm just going to be up front. I'm not a city boy. I'm a country boy. I'd rather be in a deer stand somewhere out catfishing. But I was in the city of Greensboro. This was back when I was still bivocationally working. And I walked up to the place of business where I was supposed to do an inspection. It was locked. So I called up the guy and I said, hey, I'm here. He said, well, it's going to be another 10, 15 minutes. I look over here to my side, and I see a lady sitting in a chair. She was working at the barber shop. There was like a haircut place. Well, she's outside smoking a cigarette, taking a break. So I have him on speakerphone, and he's telling me, yeah, it's going to be about 10, 15 minutes before I can get there. Well, ain't much to do. And I see her over there, and I just, all right, I know what you want me to do. No problem. Take your time. Hey, how are you? I just started talking to the young lady sitting over there. Guess what she was wearing? She had on red boots, red pants, red shirt, red eyes. And on the middle of her shirt it said El Diablo, which is devil demon. She had on a hat that looked like a witch's hat, like what you would stereotypically think of a witch. It just didn't have the pointy end on the top. Be kind. Jesus said, go. Love your neighbor. How can you love them and not share the good news with them? Remember, Roy taught you last week. Remember, you got good news. Don't put it in your pocket. Give it out. Now, she had on all red. You know what I said? I said, ma'am, you know what my favorite color is? Red! I got a red pickup truck. That just started a wonderful conversation. She said, it's my favorite color, too. I said, really? I had no idea. And I said, "Can I share my story with you today?" Guess what she said? Yes. I shared my story with her. Before how, since Jesus came in, she heard the gospel right in the middle of my story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. At the end, she thanked me. She said, "Thank you for sharing. I've never met such a nice Christian. You weren't pushy, you weren't mean, you weren't hateful, but thank you for sharing the gospel with me today. I appreciate that." She smiled, was thankful. Then we took a picture together. I showed that picture to my wife when I got home, and, you know, she, "Wow, you were right. She did have red eyes." But clearly, she was battling some demonic control in her life. And we're called to go. Connect to an experience. Find some way to start a conversation. Turn a secular conversation into a spiritual one. So pay attention to some experiences that you can see and listen to so that you can connect and get an opportunity to share your story with the gospel. Number two, listen for people sharing emotions like yours. Listen for people sharing emotions. Examples. Depression, anxiety, fear, loneliness, hurt, suicidal thoughts. Met this lady one time and I was listening to her speak, and she mentioned that she was struggling with periods of depression in her life. There were times that were worse than others, but she was going through some depression. I heard that because I listened. I said, "I know about depression. Can I share my story with you?" I went right into my story talking about depression. I shared my story with her before, how, since. She heard the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, right in the middle of my story. But then guess what happened? The table turned. She started listening to my story. Now she's connected with more of my story because she listened to details in my story that she related to even more so than depression. I shared my story with her. Shared the gospel with her. I looked up. She was just bawling, crying her eyes out. She said, "Thank you so much for sharing your story with me and sharing the gospel with me. God brought you here today so I could hear this." She said, "But there's something in your story." And because I told her, I said, I hope I didn't say anything to upset you. But she was uncontrollably sobbing. She said, "No, it's just interesting that God brought you here today to talk to me." She said, "I talked about depression. You talked about depression, but I didn't tell you the other part, and you did." She said, "You mentioned you had suicidal thoughts at one point in your life." She said, "Jacob, I know God brought you here today to share with me because I tried to kill myself last night." Are we listening? We have to be listening to lost people. We have to be obedient children of God and share our story with them. People are hurting. Lost people are hurting outside in this cruel world. That's why we're doing this training, to make sure you know how to be obedient witnesses for Christ. Having these conversations, everybody's looking. That's why we're in such an identity crisis in today's world. One, because 98% of Christians aren't sharing their faith. They're not sharing the gospel. We're trying to fix that. And then second, We're trying to just teach you how to do it, how to connect, how to talk to people, because they're looking for truth and identity, and we're the ones that got it. We can tell them the truth of Jesus, and they can have identity in Christ. That's what they're looking for. Number three, listen, look for opportunities in current events. Listen, look for opportunities in current events. Whether it be news, tragedies that happen that we see in the news, unfairness, politics. That seems to be a big one today, politics. People ask me all the time, I don't know why people are gravitated to evangelists to talk about politics. It drives me nuts. I don't talk politics to people. You know what I've learned to do? It's kind of turned into what a wonderful opportunity it is to witness, because when people start saying something about Trump, or they start saying something about the other side, whether it be Biden or Kamala or whoever, they want to just start talking. And I'm like, you know, sure makes me grateful that Jesus changed my life. But you know, some people like Team Donkey. Some people like Team Elephant. I'm on Team Lamb, the Lamb of God. That's what I say. Anytime somebody out in the world, even lost people or people at work that want to talk politics, why? What a missed opportunity. Use that next time. Tell them, some people like Team Donkey. Some people like Team Elephant. I want you to know I'm on Team Lamb, the Lamb of God. That's whose team I'm on. Because in the end, every knee will bow. Every knee is going to bow. I have another example of talking about politics. I may or may not have shared this here before. There was a lady who was trying to, I knew what she was doing. She was trying to gaslight me politically and try to get a rile out of me. And she knew that I preached, so she asked me, she said, Jacob, you a preacher? You preach? I said, yeah, I preach. I didn't know how quite to answer it, to be honest. She kind of threw me off. I said, yeah, I preach. She said, really? You must be one of them white supremacists, aren't you? Now, deep down in my heart, most Christians probably would have blew up and just went nuclear on her. I almost had tears in my eyes, not because I was offended, but because I know 98% of Christians have probably never been obedient enough just to simply share the good news with her. 98% of Christians have never shared the gospel with her. She's just lost. She can't help it. She's lost. She doesn't know. And the reason she doesn't know is because 98% of Christians have never told her. So with me knowing this, the Holy Spirit prompted me, and I just looked at her and I smiled. I said, no, I'm not a white supremacist. I said, but let me tell you what I used to be. I used to be one of the wickedest people you ever met in your life. I went right into my story. Before, how, since Jesus came in, right in the middle, she heard the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. She did not butt in one single time. You know why? Because it's my story. She don't know. She can't correct it because it's my experience. I witnessed it. That was my encounter. That's why your story is so powerful, because it's yours. Nobody can argue with it. Even a liberal atheist can't argue with your story. But here's what happened. Shared my story before, how, since. And then, at the end, she let me pray with her.
and she took a Bible from me because I was kind. Be like Jesus. Love your neighbor. Love them enough to go share the wonderful good news of Jesus with them. We got to stop arguing and all this crazy chaos that's going on with fighting and feuding. And remember, there's only one God. Now, number four, make leading statements. Make leading statements. How many of you, when somebody says, "How are you doing?" what do you typically say? Fine. I. How do you spell that? I. All right. Okay. Fine. Never say it again. When you leave here today, never answer with that again, especially that one. Never again. What a wasted opportunity. Next time somebody says, "How are you doing today?" here's what I want you to say. Got a couple different things you can do. But make an opportunity of it. How are you doing? I'm blessed by the best. Sometimes they'll say, "Really? Who's your best?" There's a chance to tell them who it is, and I hope it's Jesus. Jesus is your best. Sometimes it might even spark into a conversation where you get an opportunity to share your story. Because they want to know who your best is. Tell them why he's your best. Share your story. Share the gospel. That's why he's your best. Change your life. Ready for the next one? How are you doing? Third best day of my life. 50% of the time, they may just kind of shrug it off and walk on and not say a thing. That's all right. But sometimes, at least 50% of the time, they're going to say, "Really? Third best day? Well, what was the first best?" When Jesus changed your life. And then tell them how. Share your story. Second best day of my life was when I met my beautiful bride. Yesterday is dead and gone. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, so which makes today third best day of my life. But the whole point of it is to get them to talk about the first best. That's most important. Third best day of my life. So I'm going to start testing you. I'm going to ask you next Sunday. I'm going to say, "How you doing?" Don't you fall. Don't you say, "I." Wonderful, wonderful ways of making leading statements. It's a wonderful way to get an opportunity to share the gospel and talk about Jesus. That's all we're teaching, just how to turn a secular conversation into a spiritual one. You can do it with pretty much everything. You can use these little tips and tools here. Now you may be saying, "Jacob, listening to you, sounds like you want me to wake up every single morning and get up and witness." Yes, that's exactly what I'm trying to get you to do. We got to get up and witness every day. Now, here's why that's so important. 99% of everyone that you're going to meet tomorrow ain't given one single thought about heaven or hell. There's too much going on in the world. We just talked about some of the chaos right now with politics and Iran and everything else going on in the world. I got to get the kids to school. I got to get the kids to ball games. Got to do the clothes. Got to do the dishes. Got this, got that. Got to get the baby to bed. Got to get a baby a bath. There's so many things distracting us that 99% of everyone you meet tomorrow ain't giving one thought about heaven or hell. That's why it's so crucial to be witnessing and listening for experiences and emotions and events that you can connect with to share your story. Listen for an experience. Listen for an emotion. Connect. There's a biblical example of this. You remember in John chapter 4, Jesus met the, where did he meet the Samaritan woman?
At the well.
Why'd she come to the well? So what was on her mind? Water. So what did Jesus start talking about? He said, give me a drink of water. He connected. Water's on the brain. He started talking about water.
It really is that simple. To start a conversation, to start talking to somebody. Red's my favorite color.
He started talking about water. Now let me give you some more tips. Let's look at the top page 5. 3 tips on witnessing. It is different sharing your story in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. It is different sharing your story in one-time meetings than with regular friends and acquaintances. 2, expect mixed results. Just expect them. Acts 17, it says, when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again. A few of them believed. So the same is with you. When you're sharing your story, sharing the gospel, stop worrying about the win them mentality. Just plant the seed. Because in reality, some are going to mock. Some might want to hear it again or talk more to you. Some may believe. Let God bring the harvest. Let God be the winner. So expect mixed results. But you notice the first part of that verse I said, when they heard about the resurrection. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week. Talk about the resurrection. That's the second half of the gospel. Sometimes, because I know that's the second part of the gospel, a lot of times when I see gospel tracts or different things that people give me or I see them, I'll go through it. And would you believe a lot of times gospel tracts only have half the gospel in it? They talk about how Jesus died for you. Would you come visit our church? That's normally the next sentence afterwards. But this says, when they heard about the resurrection, there ain't no resurrection. There ain't nothing. That's why we can't forget when we tell people about how Jesus died for us. Don't just stop there. You got to share the resurrection, the complete gospel, because that's what it's saying here. When they heard about the resurrection, that's when some believed. 3, remember, inviting people to church is good, but it's not going. It's not going. We're supposed to be going and sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. Matthew 28:19 says, go make disciples. Mark 16:15, go proclaim the gospel. Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses. We're called to go. Matthew 28:19, it doesn't say go therefore and just stick it on your to-do list. That's not what it says. We're to go. Therefore, go and make disciples. Top of page 6. You can witness with your thanksgiving. You can witness with your thanksgiving. You say, really? 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 says, I tell you what, let's read this together on the screen. Read this with me if you would. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. That's why I don't eat beef liver. I can't give thanks for that nasty mess. So I don't eat it. So how can you witness with your thanksgiving? First note, pray if you're alone. Pray if you're alone. Now, I'm not talking about being some self-righteous Pharisee where you're wanting everybody to look at you. But you don't want to be ashamed. You don't want to be ashamed. Pray if you're alone. I can tell you numerous times that I've been out somewhere, either at a restaurant, by myself, and I pray if I'm alone. And I've had strangers notice, and I know they noticed because they came up to me after the meal. And they said, "Sir, sorry to interrupt. We saw you praying earlier." And they'd go on to tell me about a problem in their life, something that they were struggling with, and asked if I would pray for them. They just assumed that I was a Christian because I was praying. They just assumed that I was a follower of Jesus because I was praying. They didn't necessarily know who I was praying to. But ain't it interesting that most people default prayer equals he's probably praying to Jesus. So pray if you're alone. I had a little girl one time I was praying when I was alone. I was praying, had my eyes closed, and I heard behind me this little girl. She said, "Mommy, Mommy, look, he's praying." People notice. People see you, even when you don't expect it. Now remember, I'm not talking about being a, you know, "Oh, look at me." But don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. A funny incident, I was eating at a grill. And I can remember it was pretty packed, so they put me at a table over near the bar area. So I'm sitting there at the table, and I'm getting ready to eat, and I go ahead and I close my eyes, I bow my head, and I pray. I'm praying for my food. And I had already noticed that over beside me at the bar, there were several guys, good, you know, they were all good friends, good buddies with each other. Well, they were sitting there at the bar getting lit. I mean, they were already slurring and loud and drunk. I prayed. As I was praying, I could hear one of them, "Hey, y'all, shh, that guy's trying to pray over here. Be respectful." Ain't that interesting? People notice when you're praying. So pray. Pray when you're alone. Next one. Ask to pray for your server. Ask to pray for your server. When your server comes out, they bring the food out, they put it on the table. They say, "Hey, does everything look good?" This is kind of like when somebody says, "How you doing?" And you say, "All right." "How's the food look?" "All right. Look good." Don't miss that opportunity. When they bring the food out, let's look on the screen. This is your prayer. Let's say his name is Bill. He's our waiter. You say, "Bill, we always give thanks for our food. Is there anything going on in your life, family, friends, health, that we can pray about for you?" It's that simple. Pray for your server. Now, if you're writing that down, I'm going to give you a cheat. You can stop right there. You don't have to. Because at the end of the service, everyone's going to get an opportunity to get a prayer card that you can keep with you everywhere you go. It has that little sentence on it. How to pray for your server. It's real simple. It's a wonderful sentence because here's what generally happens. Sometimes they may say, "I mean, everything's pretty good. I can't complain." You just say, "All right, we'll pray for general health." A lot of the times, though, here's what's going to happen. Get ready, because they're about to unload on you. I'm serious. I pray for servers at every restaurant we go to. My kids, my wife can attest, we pray for all of them, every server. And they have witnessed numerous times where waitresses and waiters have just unloaded, started crying uncontrollably. There was one time we asked the waitress, I won't say where it was, asked about praying for her, immediately she locked up. I could tell in her face she was about to just, the waterworks were about to begin. She locked up, she couldn't say a word. It finally got so interesting, I had to look at her and I said, I tell you what, don't say a word. I can tell the wheels are spinning, you're experiencing something that you want to share. I don't want you to get up, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, upset. I said, just do this, we're going to be here eating. I said, between now and before we leave, when you're going to and from the back, if you just find the back of a receipt or a note, if you just want to write what is in your mind right now that you're thinking about, don't have to share it. If you'll just simply write it down and bring it back to me at some point, we'll pray for you. And she did that. When she brought the bill, she also brought an extra blank ticket, and she had it folded up and she had her note on it. Guess what it said? It said, pray for my daughter who's battling some major health issues in the hospital. Guess what her second question or statement was that she wanted me to pray about? She said, I'm looking for truth. Pray that I'll find it. I got it. I know the truth. And I shared it with her, shared my story. I also shared something else that I'm going to share with you in just a minute, but not yet. But we had a wonderful opportunity to share the truth with her, the gospel, through my story. Pray for your server. Me and my wife, we were at Texas Roadhouse one time. I'll mention this one. And I remember the waitress was training someone, and we're sitting there, and we asked to pray. Guess what she said? She said, yes, can I pray with you? She grabbed my hand, she grabbed my wife's hand in front of the other girl she's training. We all just prayed together right there in the middle of Texas Roadhouse. I had a waitress one time too. We asked about praying. She didn't have anything to say, which is fine. Hey, no worries. We'll pray for general health. They see we're being kind. We're being loving. We're offering to pray. We're being good examples of a good witness. Eventually, at the end, she came back and she spilled the beans. She couldn't hold it in. She was being prompted. She was being drawn. She said, I probably shouldn't do this. I'm here at work. I gotta get this off my chest. Y'all offered to pray for me. She said, I'm an alcoholic. I can't stop drinking. Now guess what happened? Because I listened, she said something about having alcohol issues. And I listened. You know what I did? I said, I know something about drinking. I went right into my story, talking about how I used to love to drink all the time and party. Shared my story with her before, how, since. She heard the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Wonderful opportunity. By offering to pray. None of these opportunities would have ever happened if we hadn't opened our lips and offered to pray for them. Now, you can use this same line for a lot of people. It doesn't just have to be servers. It can be anybody, anywhere, even a drive-through when you get your food. Hey, I'm going to give thanks for this. I'd like to pray for you. But you can use this anywhere and offer to pray for others. If you see somebody having a bad day, crying, upset, hey, I couldn't help but notice. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anything I can help you pray about? It's a wonderful way to be a witness. Next one, ask to pray for others at your table. Ask to pray for others at your table. I was invited to go on a big motorcycle ride years ago. And I can remember, obviously, a lot of the people that were with us on the big motorcycle ride They weren't followers of Jesus. But I tried to be a good witness the entire time. And finally, we got to a destination where we stopped for lunch. It was a little grill area. And while everybody's waiting on their food to come, most of them were at the bar drinking heavily. A lot of them were already getting drunk because they were pre-gaming probably before. The food finally comes out. You know what I did? You can go ahead and pop the next slide if you want. Here's what I said. I said, guys, I always give thanks for my food. If y'all would like, I'll just pray for all of us. Guess what they said? Yeah, we'd love for you to pray. Go ahead and pray. I've never once had a drunk say, "Oh, don't you pray for me, preacher." I've never had it happen. I say, you pray for others. And then here's what I did. When I prayed, all I did, you can turn the next slide. I simply said, "Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen." Kept it simple. I didn't start my prayer out, "Lord, be with these heathens. They're going to bust hell wide open, Lord." I didn't do that. Just kept it simple. "Thank you for this food. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen." Kept it simple. Guess what? A year later, I was invited to go again. But now they beat me to the punch. It didn't start at lunchtime before the ride began. They said, "Preacher, would you mind praying for us before we ride?" Absolutely. I didn't have to ask them about praying for lunch. They automatically were looking at me when everybody got their food. "You going to pray, preacher?" "Yes." Because that was a good way to witness and being kind, it set up multiple opportunities where I got to share my story and share the gospel with many, many, many of them. So ask to pray for others at your table. Look at the very bottom of the page. P.S. Tip well. Tip well. Tip well. If you ask to pray for your server and you talk about Jesus, you share your story, and you either don't leave a tip or a real puny one, don't talk about Jesus. Tell them you're an atheist or a Mormon or something. Don't talk about Jesus and leave a pitiful tip. I can't tell you how many waitresses I know that work on Sundays. It makes them sick sometimes. You know, they got to work on Sunday because they're going to see a bunch of suit and ties up there leaving chancy tips. And most people that are dressed up on a Sunday morning, they know where they've been. They know who they're professing to follow. Remember, P.S. tip well. It's an investment. If you're sharing Jesus with somebody, it's an investment in the kingdom. Leave them a good tip. Let them know you weren't just a kind Christian that really loved them. You loved them so much you left them a wonderful tip. What a better way to brag on God than to give more money and just be a good witness. So tip well. Top of page 7. You can witness with your tracts. You can witness with your tracts. Letter A, the shotgun approach. I know, I would hope, being right here next to Stokesdale and Oak Ridge, everybody knows where I'm going with this. So the shotgun approach. Who knows about number 6, number 8, birdshot? Yeah. Talking about the shotgun, it spreads. Covers a lot. So the shotgun approach, what I like to use, will my pet go to heaven? Will my pet go to heaven? How many pet owners are in the room? A lot of hands in here. A lot of pet owners. Now, you're going to want to, I'm going to show you how to use this track, but you're going to want to take real good notes. This is very profound.
what I'm about to teach you. Roy, you got your pen ready? Did you get one in? Hey, what did you think about that? Was that hard? That was pretty simple. It's called the shotgun approach. I give out hundreds of those a week. Hundreds. I've only ever had one person say no thank you. They do what he just did. They reach out and they take it. But I'm going to tell you, most of the time when you give one to a lost person, they're going to say this. So at the end, they're usually going to say thank you. But he didn't say thank you, so he's not very spiritual today. But most of the time when you give them out, lost person's even going to say thank you at the end for giving it to them. But it is. It's that simple. Hey, did you get one of these?
Not yet.
Thank you. Now, better luck with lost people. Grief. So that's the shotgun approach. Now we get into the rifle approach. You say rifle approach. Now you're zeroing in. How can you zero in? The best way to zero in, we like to use steps to peace with God. Steps to peace with God track. This is the rifle approach. So a lot of times the way I like to use this, one of the ways, we teach you four ways to use this, by the way. And at the end of the service, at the ministry resource table in the back, and on the little table over here as you walk out that door, are going to be all these tracts, all the prayer cards, and a page that I printed out that shows you four ways to use a Steps to Peace with God tract. Four different ways. Now, I'm not going to go through all four ways this morning. I'm going to just want to teach you the first way. It's real simple. Here's all you do. You just walk up to somebody. Don't get nervous. How are you? What's your name?
Great. Mark Moon.
Mark, have you ever heard of Billy Graham?
Yes.
He wrote this little booklet here called Steps to Peace with God. And when I was 34 years old, God used what's inside here to change my life. I'd just like to share that with you today.
Thank you very much.
Did you hear that? He said, thank you. Roy, you're going to have to work on them. That's one of the easiest ways to use a Steps to Peace with God track. That's the first way. But there's three more ways on the paper. As y'all leave this morning, be sure to get that. And then I want you to grab several of the Steps to Peace with God tracks. I also want you to grab several of the pet tracts. I'm telling you, those pet tracts, people love them. I've had atheists, Jews, and Muslims take that tract from me. And it's got a wonderful gospel presentation in it. Wonderful. I've even just set them out at hotels, at the Continental Breakfast, set them out on between the salt and pepper shaker. And I'll go get my cup of coffee, and I'll go back and sit, and I'll watch the show. Everybody comes in, they start opening them up. They can't resist it. People are pet crazy. They are. You say, I don't believe it. 2017, there was a survey done. $36 million was spent on cosmetic surgery for pets. You wonder why everybody takes the track? There you go. People are pet crazy, Roy. They are, they're pet crazy. So use it. And it's real simple. Hey, did you get one of these? And they take it. Guess what? If they don't, it's all right. It's all right. He saw you try. But a lot of times it's a good icebreaker. Because when you're passing out tracts, it can start conversations. And if you start conversations, remember what we do? Shh, listen. Let them share an experience or an emotion that you connect with, so that you can share your story, which has what in it? The gospel. Thank you. It's got the gospel in it. These are also wonderful to leave when you pray for your server and you leave your very, very, very generous tip. You can leave them with your generous tip.
That way there's more follow-up. Because a lot of times when we go out, we pray for our server. Most of the time, we get to do all three ways of witnessing with them before we leave. Because usually, the prayer starts it. We show them how much we love them and genuinely care for them by offering to pray for them, which then gives us an opportunity to share our story with the gospel in it. And then we also want to leave them some more literature where they can further investigate and learn more. Plus, did you notice those that got a tract? Did you see what's on the back of it? Your church sticker. Talking about Central Baptist Church, the address where they can come to learn more about this Jesus you talk about. So we start with the gospel, they go through it, and then on the back, now we get to talking about follow-up. Once they give their life to Jesus, or if they want to come learn more about Jesus and they're being drawn, they need to come to a good place. This is a wonderful place to come. So now they've got your church information on there, so they can come learn more and get involved in disciple groups, small groups, Sunday school. Get involved. Now, let's look at the back, page 8. What now? Based on what we have just seen in God's Word, what should you do today? Remember James 1:22 right there. Don't be hearers only, be doers. I know you're doers of the Word. I didn't ask you this at the beginning, but remember a couple weeks ago when I was here, we wrote our stories, and at the end, you signed the back of your copy of notes that you were going to share your story with at least two people. I know you did, because you're doers of the Word. You made a commitment before God. So I know you did it. You're doers of the Word. Number one, it's commitment time. None of this training does a lick of good, remember, if we don't get out there and do. So number one, I will pray at every meal tomorrow. By myself, or for my server, or for others at my table. You say, well, Jacob, I'll be at home all day tomorrow. Well, good. It'll be easy for you then. I will pray at every meal tomorrow. If you're willing to make that commitment, sign and date with me right now. Sign your name. Today is the 29th. And we're signing this because we are doers of the Word. Number two, I will give at least one tract away before tomorrow evening. But this also applies, I'm going to step it up. I want you to give out at least one to two tracts this week. Give one out tomorrow, but at least between now and next Sunday when I come back, I'd like you to give out one or two tracts that you're going to take with you, the pet tract or the Steps to Peace with God tract. If you're willing to make that commitment, sign and date. Number three, I will share my personal testimony, your witnessing story, with at least one person before tomorrow evening. Yeah, you guessed it. I'm going to change that one too. Between now and next week, I'd like you to share your story with the gospel in it with at least two more people this week. With at least two more people this week. You can even still use the cheat that I gave you. You remember the cheat that I gave you? When I came down and I said, whether you're at work with a co-worker on lunch break and you just read word for word what you wrote, you can do that. You can also do it with your honed-in version that you're going to do for homework. That's on the second page. Hone it in. Hone it in, make it shorter. I've never heard anybody complain about something being too short, especially a sermon on Sunday morning. I've never heard anybody complain about that. So share that with two more people. And then remember, when we exit, this morning. There's going to be tracts on the table out here. We also have ministry magnets. If you don't have one of them on your refrigerator, grab one so that you can pray for us. We also have email signups out there for our prayer letter, our newsletter. Make sure you sign up for that so you can stay aware of everything we need help prayer for. The little table over here has the tracts and the four ways to use Steps to Peace with God track over here too. They don't do any good if they stay here on these tables. And then we're always going to keep these to where you can still continue to use them throughout. Use them. When they get empty, guess what? He'll fill them up. And you get more. Keep giving them out. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep being bold witnesses for Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning with the time you've given us to dive into your word, to learn more how we can be bold witnesses for you and brag on you and share your wonderful good news. God, I ask you in this moment if there's still people in this room that even a couple weeks ago when they were writing their stories and they got to the part how, they got to the part since Jesus changed their life and they didn't have anything to write. There was nothing on their pages. They had never had a born-again moment where they truly surrendered their life to you. Or they realized their life didn't change. They never had a life change because they've never been transformed. God, if there be anybody here that had those empty pages and they're still struggling, Lord, just continue to draw them and convict them to surrender, give their life to you, put their faith and trust in you, and to repent and turn from sin so they can have a true relationship with you and grow with you. Lord, we love you so much. We look forward to next Sunday morning. It's going to be powerful. Just fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Protect us, guide us as we leave here today. Be with everyone in here as they go out this week and they get opportunities, Lord. Bless them with opportunities. Help them to create opportunities, to pray for others around them, to pass out tracts with the gospel in it, and to also share their story with people this week with the gospel. Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor. Thank you, Jacob. As you consider what's been said today, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that we have this way of automatically thinking because we're sitting in a church building, everybody's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that's not always true. You know, I've said before, I think hell's going to be full of church people, because they were too busy coming to church instead of knowing Jesus. So today we ask you this, do you know Jesus? Has there been that time he's come into your life and changed your life? You've confessed that you are a sinner, that you have repented of your sin, that you have asked Christ to save your soul. Have you done that? That is the good news. That is the resurrection, the death, the burial, resurrection. I believe in that, and that is what will bring salvation to you. As always, we're old-fashioned around here. We still believe in an old-fashioned altar call. You know, you can send notes, you can check boxes. That's good. We'll deal with that. But we still believe in a good old-fashioned altar call. I'm going to be standing right down at the front. The altar is open. Whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart, I just ask right now that you make it right with him before you leave this place. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, number 134, Brad's going to come and lead us.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength and need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it home. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father, you are good to us, and all provision truly comes from you. Lord, I pray that you will help us today to worship you by being faithful to return to you the tithe and the offering that you have truly blessed each and every one of us with. And Lord, we ask that you would give us wisdom and how to be good stewards of what belongs to you, particularly as your church. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Just a couple quick things, and we'll get you moving. We do have a called church conference today. Don't forget that. That was it should be very quick. The called conference is by personnel, specifically to vote on new policies for time off, vacation, whatever you want to call it, for staff. So we gave that to you. So that'll be very quickly as soon as we get finished after our service today. I did want to mention that one of our newest members, celebrated an anniversary this past Friday. The reason why we didn't have it in last week's bulletin was because the process paperwork hadn't been done yet, so we didn't know it. So Diane and her husband, Jerry Hold, celebrated a wedding anniversary this past Friday, and we didn't want to neglect to mention them. So when you see Diane again, be sure to wish her a very happy anniversary. Birthdays we've got coming up for this week. Today, Nancy Kreider's birthday is today. So give her a hand. We love Nancy. She not only takes care of her family, she takes care of our family and our staff. We love her and appreciate her. We take Miss Nancy any day of the week. If you got bad words to say about her, you're going to have to go through a bunch of peoples, and including me. So Nancy's is today, and then Saturday, Pearl Willard's got a birthday coming up. Y'all be sure to let Miss Pearl know that you love her, you're praying for her, and wish her a happy birthday along the way as well. Things we've got going on for today. My discipleship group will meet at 3:30 today in 116 next door. Awana is at 5:30. Adult Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m., room 5 down the hall here. And the Wind Ensemble is kicking back up for tonight, 7 o'clock. And then choir practice, 4:45 right here if you are part of the choir. As always, Steve and Mari's D groups will be meeting tomorrow. Steve's here at the church. And Mari's will actually be back in its normal location at their home tomorrow evening. Wednesday, you got the Ladies Connection meeting, Family Life Center 116 at 4 o'clock p.m. And we'll dot any other I's, cross any other T's. Let me say this, and then David will come and see us off in a word of prayer. I want to mention that next Sunday morning, we're going to have just a few little different special things. All right, everybody listening to me? All right, look at me so I know you're listening, because everybody will go out here and go, I didn't hear anything said about that. Well, you're getting ready to hear it right now. So, and all God's children said? All right, there you go. Thank you. All right. Here's what we got going on for next week. At 9:30, say 9:30. At 9:30, we are going to meet at the cross right out here in the grass. You see that? The cross and the grass. At 9:30 next Sunday, all right? What we're going to do, we're going to have a time of comments and prayer out there. Then what we're going to do is we're going to move into our educational wing right here where you will have some coffee and some fellowship food. I called it fellowship food because I don't know what it is. People who are better at me than that know what that's going to be. So we're going to have some opportunity to have some fellowship together over a cup of coffee. If you don't drink coffee, we'll figure something out for you. There's always something for you non-coffee drinking sinners. you get saved, you'll know what a good cup of coffee is like. But at any rate, we'll have some coffee. We'll have we'll have some snacks and some fellowship time. And there's a frame. Roger and our big man G and Roger Brooks built a frame. So you'll have an opportunity to have your picture taken. I think it says Easter at Central. It will be back there on the fellowship wing as well. So we look forward to having you with us next week as we celebrate our resurrected Savior. That's who we want to tell everybody about, the resurrection, one of the biggest keys of the gospel message. So with that, thank you for a little bit of extra time. And for those of you who are brave enough, stay around. We've got this call conference. David will kick the tires on it immediately. We're going to give everybody time just to, you know, if you're going on to lunch and you're not staying, go on to lunch and stay. Then David's going to start this conference. It should be quick. It's a called conference to handle one piece of business only, and that was from the personnel team, which we handed out, so you should already have your questions answered. It should be quick and easy. I'm trying, David. It should be quick and easy. So with that, Pastor David, come up. If there's anything you need to share with us, do so, and then we'll get everybody rolling, and we'll get our business meeting started.
Well, Jacob, I'm glad you were here today and brought out one thing about special events. Today is Palm Sunday. It's Sunday, but it's also another special day that is an opportunity to share your testimony. Today is National Appreciation for Vietnam Vets. You see a guy wearing a hat. Thank you for your service. Can I give you a track? Be sure to tell them welcome home. They didn't get that when they came back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the privilege we have of serving you. We thank you for the opportunity you give us every day to share the good news with others. Father, help us to do that and do it with love and compassion. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.